By mid-afternoon, the storm front had passed. Several injuries were reported, but no deaths. The visitors to the Barando Temple thanked their hosts and returned to their lives. Luke found Ben lingering in the lounge. "All done," he said.
"You've mastered the technique?"
"And I'm making inroads into the other lightning rod techniques. By the way, we've been invited to Char Se Sol's farewell ceremony. Care to attend?"
"Yeah,"
Ben frowned.
"It was mentioned a few times here while everyone was watching the storm coverage. I got a strange sense about it."
"What do you mean?"
"His students, like Testora Pon, were sad about it. So were the Barando masters. But it was different."
"Of course it was. Masters tend to have a greater depth of philosophy and understanding about such things."
"Dad, or even sadder."
That got Luke's attention. "What's that again?"
"I got the impression that the masters had an even deeper regret."
"Interesting." Luke frowned as he thought about it. "Now I'm certain we need to attend." It happened at nightfall. Behind the main temple, on a broad paved area, stood a raised hearth surrounded by a bronze-colored metal rim. On the hearth, a pyre had been built. It was not made of wood, for wood did not burn in Doran's oxygen-free atmosphere. Instead, it comprised planks made of a self-contained solid fuel already enriched with oxygen. For the first hour, as the sun went down and Baron Doe and friends gathered, Char Se Sol circulated, greeting guests. He was, by Keldor standards, short and burly, meaning that to Ben he looked somewhat less scrawny than the others. He might have been old by Keldor standards, but he moved energetically and easily. He had certainly shown considerable combat skill when working with Ben the previous day. He wore a simple draping robe in black. A hood hung partway down his back. Drinks and tidbits of food were served. Luke and Ben, the only non-Keldor present, did not partake. Eventually, Char Se Sol stood up on a bench-like platform, also made of the combustible material, and addressed those who were gathered. He spoke in the Keldor language, but Testora Pon, standing near the Skywalkers, translated into Basic.
"Thank you all for attending. There is no lonelier thought than the idea that you might die alone. There is no more comforting thought than that you may die gently among friends. I now take that step, moving aside so that others may succeed me. I pray that I will be remembered fondly. I will remember all of you fondly."
So saying, he flipped his hood up so that it shrouded his eyes. He lay down on the platform upon which he had been standing. He placed his hands together, fingers laced over his chest. As the others watched in silence, his breathing slowed. Ben could feel him in the Force, a strong, vital presence. Then the Force presence that was Char Se Sol faded, became smaller. In moments, it was completely gone, though his body still lay on the platform. Four Keldors approached the platform. They carried what looked like a casket made of the same combustible material. Two poles were slid through hoops along the casket's sides. One Keldor held each end of each pole. They maneuvered the casket over the body of Char Se Sol and lowered it, carefully settling it into place. A moment later, they lifted it clear of the platform. The top layer of the platform adhered to the casket's underside. The bearers carried the casket and placed it atop the pyre, then withdrew the poles and stepped back. Mistress Tyla Mong approached the pyre. From the distance of a meter, she extended her hand. A crackle of lightning leapt from the end of her fingers to strike the base of the pyre. Instantly, the combustible material caught fire. An odd, purplish flame that rapidly spread across all the surfaces of pyre and casket. The flame became very fierce, very fast. Soon the Keldors and the two humans had to stand farther back so as not to be burned themselves. Purple flames leapt into the sky, rising nearly to the height of the temple roof. The onlookers spoke little, but soberly watched the fire consume the body of their friend. Not long after, the pyre collapsed, Remains of the casket fell into the center of the burning mass. The flames were still fierce, but dying. One by one, the Keldors began turning away, taking their leave. At an appropriate time, before the last of the Baron Doe had left, Luke thanked Tyla Mong and led Ben around the building toward the front gates.
"Kind of sad," Ben said. "He was pretty nice, a good fighter, though he didn't have a lot of weapons experience, staff mostly."
Luke's tone was equally soft. "It always annoys me to be lied to."
"I wasn't lying to you, Dad."
"What?" Luke looked startled. "No, not you. Them."
"What do you mean?"
They passed through the gates. Instead of turning south toward the spaceport, Luke led them north toward the mercantile district. "They lied about Charsay Sol. He didn't die, and they didn't cremate him."
"Are you kidding? I felt him die."
"You felt him vanish in the Force, as I did. A graduated diminishment that was not much different in the way it felt to Force-sensitive onlookers from death. Ben, have you ever met anyone who could conceal himself in the Force?" Ben grinned.
"Other than myself and Jason and you and..."
"They put an empty casket on that pyre and burned it. And ordinarily, I don't need to pry into other people's secrets. But this one may have something to do with what Jason learned here, so we have to root out the truth. We're going to find a restaurant for oxygen breathers, have a good meal with our masks off, and then we're going to come back here and find the truth."